The parable of the sower is basically two big truths. So if you figure these two things out, you got it. It's all about Jesus Christ, and it's all about us. It's a mystery of the kingdom. The mystery about Jesus Christ, is that very mysterious? What do you think? Is God becoming flesh a mystery that's hard to grasp? Yes. So the mystery of the kingdom is all about Jesus Christ. He is the sower. Remember, there can be multiple meanings of a parable. I'm only preaching one. It doesn't mean a second one isn't just as valid. But Jesus Christ is the sower, and guess what? He's also the seed. Think about that. He's sowing the seed. He's sowing himself. You say, how in the world do I come up with that? Well, if you look at verse 14 of chapter 4, you'll see what I'm talking about. The sower soweth the word, right? What is the word? According to John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. That word is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, picture that. Just imagine. He's sowing himself. So, it's all about Christ. And then I said, it's all about us. And we've already alluded to it this morning that you and I are the mystery also of this kingdom. Because when our Lord explains this parable, that seed that is the Word of God in verse 14, that seed becomes people. It becomes the hearers. And the people, the hearers, get choked off or, what was the second one now? I'm trying not to look. The way, a stony ground, it's narrow, it's shallow, it's superficial believers. So if you just look, just to see, in verse 15, these, the word, the seed, these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, the seed hears. The seed is people who have heard. If you just look at verse 16, that same seed on a different piece of soil, these are they. And then when they have heard, do you see that? The seed is people that are hearing. And then in verse 18, these are they, that seed, these are these people who have heard the word of God. And then in verse 20, these are they on the good soil. These are people that have heard the word. They received it. So there's this morphing, so to speak. A sower is the sower. The seed is the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But now the mystery is that that seed really becomes you and I. And depending on how we grow, what does a mature seed do? It becomes a tree of life that spreads its seed throughout the countryside, we said this morning. So what happens to the seed? It matures to the point where it becomes the sower. The seed becomes the sower. The sower is the seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the seed matures to the stage of being the sower and continuing that tree of life throughout the world. That's what's going to happen tonight. Different seeds yield different fruit. If you look at verse 20, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. 30, 60, 100. Have you ever wondered, well, what is a normal crop in Jerusalem, in Israel? What's a normal harvest? So, I looked it up, and a 4 or 5-fold harvest is considered a normal harvest. A 7 or 8-fold harvest is considered a great harvest. So if a 7 to 8-fold harvest is considered great, what's a 30-fold? Supernatural. Do you see that? It's beyond human ability. 60-fold. Way beyond human ability. 100-fold. Off the charts. Yeah. In other words, it is supernaturally grown. The kingdom. The mystery of the kingdom. That is now you and I. The seeds that are sown throughout this world to reap a harvest of different varying degrees. It's all because of God. If you just glance, just jump ahead with me. Verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day. You put seed in the ground, you look at it. What do you see? Nothing. You go home, you go to bed, you get up the next day, you go back out there, what do you see? Nothing. Days of nothing. A week of nothing. Maybe 2 or 3 weeks of nothing. And then finally, something, right? Finally, a sprig pops up through. What didn't you see? You didn't see germination, did you? You didn't see the roots of the seed go downward first. They're going down to get more water. See, it's water. Water, as my geology professor said, is the universal salt. Water activates seeds. Those seeds we gave you, not those seeds, but the other ones, the other churches got those seeds. If they had taken those seeds home and placed them on the shelf and went back a year later, what would they see? The exact same thing. No difference. But if they had taken that seed and put it in the ground and then applied water to it, that water would have activated enzymes that would have broken down the seed and roots would have gone down. And then a sprig would have gone up. That's what happens. Now look again at that verse. Verse 26. Verse 27. He should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. I love that. No man, now maybe the scientists today know how. But the farmer in this day that planted that seed, watered it, and waited and waited and waited before he saw that sprig pop up, had no idea what was going on inside that soil. None. None. You and I, when we plant a seed into the heart of an unsaved person, we have no idea what's going on. None. Now, when a farmer plants a seed, is there a little faith there? There's faith there. When he waters it, is there faith? In 2 weeks, when he goes back out there to look, is that a faithful look? Yes. He believes something's going to happen. He knows something's going to happen. Can you imagine having that much faith? Where you say, I'm going to go out, I'm going to walk up to the most lost person on earth, and I'm going to plant a seed, the Word of God, in their heart. And I have enough faith to believe he can be saved. Even the pathway soil, the one that I considered accidentally, that was wrong, was not wrong. Because that soil has the potential of being saved also. When you plant the seed, there has to be faith. See, that's the mystery of the kingdom, is it's all on faith. Look again. Verse 27, at the end, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. See that word, herself? If you look that word up herself in the Greek, the language this was written in, we get the word automatically from that word. That's the word automatic. It automatically produces fruit. You put the seed in, you have no idea what's going on, but God wants you to know on earth something automatically is taking place down inside that earth to produce the tree of life. You gotta believe that. You gotta believe that you have in your hand what takes for the kingdom to grow. You carry out into the society, into the community, into the streets exactly what is needed. The word of God's the seed. Guess what? The seed is also water. Washing of water by the word in Ephesians. You gotta add the water to it. They don't know how it happens. It just happens. Remember I started off this morning that there are earthly things that happen that speak of spiritual truth all over the place. Earthly marriages, heavenly marriage. Earthly Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem. Earthly temples, heavenly temple. Temple made without hands, the Bible says. The farmer, the sowing of the seed, he puts it in the ground by faith. He waters it by faith. He comes around day after day looking at it by faith, waiting and expecting something to happen. And something happens, and he scratches his head and can't figure it out. But he knew it would. Just knew it would. God says, you are a seed that needs to become a sower. That needs to plant God's word into the hearts, the soils of prospects all around this world, this community. And you gotta have a lot of faith. Can you imagine? I said this morning in Sunday school that prayer is a secret key of evangelism. That before you go out, you pray by faith. That's more important than what you say after you go out to talk to somebody. Now, in the world's mind, it's just the opposite. No, it's what's the important thing is what I say after I get out there so that somebody can get saved. That's the important thing. No, I just said the important thing is before you walk out that door while you kneel and pray, because by faith, you're asking God to do a miracle. You're asking God to do something in the heart of somebody, prepare their heart. You actually pray, God, I have no idea who I'm going to meet today, but you know them and you've known them all their life. You know their needs. Prepare their heart right now. I ask God before I go out to prepare the soil of the heart that I'm going to meet. So when I place the seed in that soil, something will happen and I have no idea what. That's mysterious, but that's the real. That's true. I'm telling you, I think we sow the gospel and we don't believe a thing. I think we're guilty of that too often. We got to start believing in the power and potential of that seed. A beautiful picture. Beautiful picture. Now, back up a little bit if you would. There's several parables in this chapter, and they're all going to say the same thing. They're all going to talk about Christ as the sower, Christ as the light, God's kingdom as the mustard tree that grows into a tree, the seed that grows into a tree. So look at, if you would, verse 21. And he said unto them, all right, before I say that, I'm supposed to do something else. You asked me to tell a story today. Let me tell a story. So when you looked at that package this morning and you looked at that, Did you see yourself in that package? Probably not. Did you see the power and potential of that seed? Probably not. You were probably done in a minute and went out the door. Probably, if you're normal. But there is great potential in you in the hand of God. Amen? Several years ago, we took a missions trip to Hong Kong, the country of Hong Kong. I shouldn't say country. Is it a country? I don't know. And one of the ladies in our church, her name is Joyce. She was 70 years old at that time. 70. How many in here are 70 above? Anybody? Okay. About four of you? Pastor said this morning in Sunday school before we did anything, you're kind of not too old to do this. You're not too old to be a sower. You're not too old to be a gospel sower. None of you that raise your hand, do you think you're too old to do this? Do you think you're too old? Who else raised their hand? Do you think you're too old? Are you too old to sow the gospel? No. No. This lady said, Brother John, I want to go. Joyce, I want to go. I look at Joyce. She probably weighs 90 pounds with extra clothing on. She is skin and bone. She has had white hair since birth. She may have been 70. She looked 80, 90. I want to go. Okay. Pastor Taylor, do you think it's okay if Joyce goes? Yeah, it's okay. So Joyce goes. Now, I'm the evangelist. I'm the preacher. I'm the one that people will get saved. But when you look at Joyce, you're looking at a seed in a bag that looks like it is nothing. Nothing. You come back 10 years later, she looks exactly the same today. She's still alive. She's up in Oroville. She went. First day of gospel sowing, we went out on the streets. Chinese walking 100 miles an hour down the street. Hey, can I? Hey, I'd like to. After one day, I said, there's no way that's going to work. So we had to change. So we came up with the idea of parks. There's parks in Kowloon, parks people go to, and they sit down. They're not moving. So we went to the parks. Gold mine. Joyce walks up to this black man. Now get a load of that. A black man in Hong Kong. Is that strange? Is that a mystery? Yes, that was a mystery. He was a refugee. He had lost his luggage. He had lost his passport. He was homeless. A homeless black man with no money, nowhere to live, nowhere to stay, sitting there in a park. And Joyce walks up to him. He spoke English and she said, can I tell you about Christ? He said, yes. She told him about Christ. Would you like to be saved? Yes. He bowed his head. He was saved. Well, one of the churches sponsored us there. And so they're the ones that went out with us. So when this guy gets saved, they write him. Say, here's our church. That's what you do when somebody gets saved. You say, this is our church. Come on to church. We want to teach you the Bible so you can grow. Guess what? The first Wednesday night, that black guy was there at church. Why not? He's homeless. He's got nowhere else to go. He came to church. And then guess what? The first Sunday, you know what he did? He got baptized. And 1 year later, you know what that black guy did? He went into Bible school. That was 10 years ago. So now where is he? He went back to his home country of Ghana. And he now pastors a church. And every week on Facebook, he sends me photos of them going out sowing the gospel. Trace little Felix back to Joyce. Joyce. The weakest, tiniest, frailest, whitest haired, hoary headed person I've ever seen, but who said yes. You look at her, you don't see any power and potential, but guess what? Guess what? She can go to heaven. And Felix will continue to see souls saved in Africa. That's a mystery. You're in heaven. You're done. Your time on earth is done. But guess what? Your legacy is still working. See that? That's the kingdom of God. That's what he wants. If I had an apple up here, I could hold the apple. I was going to ask you for an apple, but I forgot. I thought of it, forgot it. How many, can I count the seeds in the apple? Sure. Cut it open. Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, right? I can count the seeds in the apple. No problem. Any first grader could do that. Can I count the apples in the seed? Because it can be what? Endless, right? The seed can be endless, producing fruit generation after generation after generation. Somebody, Felix, wins the Christ, may become a pastor somewhere else in Ghana. And so on, and so on, and so on. You're that seed. That's you in that bag. And in that seed is great potential. We cannot count, countless, beyond imagination, the potential of future fruit from that one seed. That's what this is all about. A transformed hearer is a powerful seed. Jesus Christ is the sower, and he's also the seed. You and I are now the seed that's to become sowers as we mature in the knowledge of Christ. If you look at verse 21, we're going to talk about light. Different parable, same idea. Who's the light? John 8:12 says it's the Lord Jesus Christ. So here in this parable, he says unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? Ah, here's the verse where the little children sing, this little, singing, I'm going to let it, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you guys were into it. Yeah. Is it really this little light? That's what it says. It says a light or a lamp, right? Is a lamp brought? Is a lamp brought? These translators of the King James Bible that translated Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John also translated the book of Revelation. They translated 5 books. So the same guys that translated this verse translated over in Revelation. Let me find it. 21:23. Go ahead and turn to Revelation 21:23. I just want you to see something. Revelation 21:23. They're looking at the exact same words as they translated a lamp in Matthew 4. In Revelation 21:23. See where it says, the Lamb is the light. Do you see that? The light. The Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the light. The light are the same two great Greek words that are translated a lamp. A lamp, the light. Same ones. They just said, you know what? Here in Mark, we're going to say a lamp. Over in Revelation, we're going to say the light. Ah, when you look now at Mark chapter 4 and say, wait a minute. That could be the light. Has the light come to be hid under a bushel, under a bed? Or has the light come to be shined forth? So instead of this little light of mine, it is the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. is to shine. John 8:12, He is the light of the world. The light of the world. So, are you a light? Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians, great book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Look at verse 8. Paul talks to the Ephesians before they were saved, they were darkness. Ephesians chapter 5, before they got saved, they were darkness. Now look, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Before you got saved, what were you, according to verse 8? Darkness. After you got saved, what did you become? Light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He's the sower, and you and I are to be the sower. He is the light of the world. You and I are to be the light of the world. How is that possible? How is it possible for Christians, seeds, how is that possible to become the light of the world? Well, since you're in Ephesians, look at verse 18 of chapter 5. What are you to be filled with? Believers are to mature in Christ. What are you to be filled with in 5:18? What are you to be filled with? What? The Holy Spirit. Fullness of the Holy Spirit. Okay, back up to chapter 4, verse 13. Now what are you supposed to be full of? Chapter 4, verse 13, what are you supposed to be full of? No? Christ. Fullness of Christ. Do you see that? Do you see it? Chapter 5, verse 18, we're to have the fullness of who? Holy Spirit. Chapter 4, verse 13, we are to have the fullness of Christ. And now back up another chapter. Chapter 3, verse 19. Now who are you supposed to be full of? God. Fullness of God, the Father. The fullness of Christ, the Son. The fullness of the Holy Spirit. Is God light? Amen. Is Christ light? Yes. Is the Holy Spirit light? Yes. And if you have the fullness of God, the fullness of Christ, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, guess who else is light? Us, the seed. We're light. Not just a candle in a room that maybe the room is so big that the darkness kind of consumes it a little bit. We are the light. The light. Not a reflection. I used to kind of always think, well, we're a reflection. We're like the moon. I used to preach, we're like the moon. Sounds good. What's the moon do? It reflects the light of God. The light of the sun, right? I preached that for years. Now I'm saying, you know what? I am like the sun. If I got the fullness of the God, the fullness of Christ, and the fullness of the Spirit, I'm not reflecting like a moon, a dead old moon, right? I've got the fullness of light. I'm the shine as bright as Christ shined. That's a little bit different way of looking at it. I kind of like that. See, we kind of look and take the lesser of the two. You know what? I'm just a moon reflecting. It scares us a little bit to say, wait a minute. God put all of God the Father, all of God the Son, all of God the Spirit in us to be a moon or to be the light. Ephesians 5:8 says, you're the light. The light. Back to Mark chapter 4. By the way, light creates responsibility. You know, if you are the light, if you say, okay, Ephesians 5:8, I am the light. Well, guess what? Now you have responsibility. Your responsibility is to shine. How much? Shine how much? Well, how much are we supposed to sow? As much as the sower? Yes. Christ is the light. How much are we supposed to shine? We're supposed to shine as bright as the light shine. That's what we're supposed to do. There's a high bar, a high standard, high expectation. I wouldn't want it any other way. I want God to expect the most out of us. Sow as much as my son sowed. No, just sow a little bit of what he sowed. Which sounds better? Sow as much. Just shine a little bit. Just a little bit. Not too much. You know, the world's not that dark, so we don't need a full light, right? Does that sound good? Or shine as bright as Christ did, the light. John 8:12. I want that one. I'm looking for, I want to be challenged beyond what I think humanly I could do. Humanly, can you do it? No. That's the mystery. Humanly, can you get 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold? No. But are there believers that did hit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold? Apparently so. He said there were. It wasn't them. It was God saying, you know what? I'm gonna pour out a little extra blessing on you. Look at verse 24, or verse 23. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. I told you 10 times in this chapter, he says, listen, pay attention. Ears, put your ears on. Here he is again. Over and over and over again. Pay attention. He just said, the light is to be on a candlestick. Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 5, you were darkness, but now you are light. That means you to be on a what? Candlestick. And then he said in verse 23, if you're listening to me, pay attention. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other. A 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, that's different levels, right? A normal harvest, we'll say 5, right? 5-fold, normal, that's if what they said is correct. A great harvest, 8. Normal, 5. Great harvest, 8. So when you get up to 30, you're in the supernatural level, right? 30, 60, 100. What's the difference? What's the difference? What's the difference? Well, here's one example. Joyce, the woman I used. Which one of those numbers is she closer to? She's closer to the supernatural one, right? Do you see? She's closer to that one because of the potential in Felix Armand, Ghana, Africa. Because not only is Felix doing it, but some of his converts are doing it. So you see that Joyce sits in a little house in Oroville on Oral Bangor Highway, sits there, and she's going from 5 to 8 to 10 to 20 to 30. You see that? You see that? And what does it all boil down to? One day she said, yes, I want to go on a mission trip. It took one single yes to kick her into the 30, 60, 100-fold range. That's what God's looking for. Look at verse 24. Here's an example. Here's the only one Jesus gave of 30, 60, 100-fold. He says, take heed what you hear. Pay attention. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. Whatever effort you put in is going to come back to you. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. The effort you make and commitment, going, showing up. Hey, Pastor, you haven't called me for that list. I've told you 3 times. I need a call. Call me. All of a sudden, you get called a few more times extra. If you lay back and say, if he wants me, he'll call me. I'll just wait. You might not get anything, right? So you got to be actively involved with what you mete out. Do you see it? Mete out. It shall be measured back to you. And then more shall be given. See the end of that verse? More shall be given. More. We get so comfortable in our pews, in our jobs, in our homes, in our patterns. Got home from work, clean up, eat, sit in the recliner. over and over and over again. We get so comfortable that it would take a stick of dynamite to get you to change. But that's what we need. We need to light a few sticks of dynamite. Because we need to change. Because if we stay the status quo, you might not have hardly any harvest. So some of the commentaries talk about the bushel and the bed, right? What's it say in the... What verse was that? Back. There it is, verse 21. Do you put the light, the candle, under a bushel or under a bed? Half the commentaries I read, half. So somebody thinks this is... Bushel talks about work and bed talks about leisure. So the thought is, can work take away from your work in the kingdom? Can work on earth take away your spiritual work for the kingdom? Yes or no? Sure. You ever heard of people? Some people work too much, right? Maybe they don't have time enough for God. Can leisure time steal away time God wants you to serve in His kingdom? Is that possible? So those half of the commentaries that say that, okay, it is true. It's true. You can work too much. You can be busier in work than God wants you to be. You could have too much leisure time than God wants you to have. Doesn't God want you to work? Yes. Does God want you to have leisure? Yes. But He wants the proper balance. The proper balance. Before I ever became a preacher, I went once a week to church for visitation. I wasn't even a preacher. I'm trying to balance it. Once a week, I got out of my chair, into my car, drove down to church, and met for 7 o'clock visitation. I wasn't even a preacher. God says, all I'm looking for is a balance. You can work, you should work. You can have fun, you do need the rest. But my kingdom is real, just as real, and I need laborers in my kingdom. I need you to commit. I need you to come. I need you to show up. We should be doing both. And then, verse 30. Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or what comparison shall we compare it? In one sentence, he said, what? It's like I'm trying to find something that will compare, that will be an equal picture of my kingdom, the mysterious kingdom of you being a seed that becomes a sower. I'm trying to find a comparison. And what did he come up with? What did he come up with? The mustard seed. The mustard seed. Look at the verse again. Verse 30, and he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It's like a grain of mustard seed. That's what you had in your packet. Which when it is sown on the earth, in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, knoweth not how, right? It becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. So here's the parable of the mustard seed, going to teach the same truth. How many meanings does this parable have? Several. Have I not told you that? Am I going to talk about all the others? No. I'm only going to talk about one. That tiny little seed becomes a huge tree. That's mysterious. How that little that little seed can become a tree where the birds of the air land and take rest in. That little seed in that package, can you see it becoming a tree? That's what God wants you to see. That's great growth. Amen? Great growth. Tiny little seed, big tree. That seed is us. Tiny, insignificant, us. Joyce Procise, 90 pounds, soaking wet, skin and bones. I said, do I see power in Joyce? No. Do I see potential? Not really. She got one foot on the grave, the other one on the banana peel. Just this week at Vacation Bible School, she just kind of lost, fell backwards and cracked her head on the floor. 6 stitches. And the next day, she was back at Vacation Bible School. But guess what? She's the one that's reaping from Africa. Great harvest. The least potential you might appear to have in God's eyes, you are just the opposite. Now think about that. I am going to come down, hopefully not fall down. Who said these steps are dangerous? Was that you? They are. We need a wheelchair ramp so you can go up and down, especially if you have any hip surgery. Now, who am I going to pick on? Okay. Well, I can't pick on this guy. Look at him. A young buck like him, super strong, faster than a speeding bullet, leaps tall buildings. I can't pick on him. I could pick on you, but he might beat me up later. So, you in the red shirt, what's your name? What is it? I can't hear you. Stand up. Loud. How do you spell that? Kesser? With a T? Okay, Kesser. Don't sit down. Don't sit down. I look at Kester and I think, no potential. I mean, I'm sorry. I am picking on you. I'll buy you a hamburger afterwards. You got a muscle? No, I didn't think so. He said no. He done. Least potential I can see in the building. Look at this dude. Oh, man, Mr. GQ right here. That's right. Look at him. Man, he looks like he just walked out of a magazine. Oh, a Kester. Oh. But when God looks at you, what's he see? What's he see? 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. He sees great potential. He sees great power. He sees a tree of life. He sees you winning people to Christ, and then they win people to Christ, and you're in heaven 100 years, and people are still winning Christ because you made a commitment one day. Did you walk forward and make a commitment this morning? Were you here this morning? And you didn't walk forward? Wow. Maybe that's why God said, pick him in the red shirt. There's a chance he could have said, you know, I ain't going for it because I can't do that. You could have thought that, right? I don't do that stuff. I can't talk to people about Christ. He could come up with 100 negative things and he never budged out of his chair, right? But God's saying, yes, you can. Forget that one. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. So you need to decide whether you're going to tell your pastor later, yeah, put me on that list. Add me in. That's right. You're going to have to decide. How old are you? How old? 21? Were you right? Did you ask him how old you were? He said 21. 21? Brother, you know his phone number? You need to be dialing that dude up all week long. God needs Kester because he sees more potential than Brother John does. Because I just look at the outward appearance, right? That's what man does, looks at the outward. But what does God look at? The heart, the potential, the power. you, buddy. You're lucky I don't live here, because I'd be hounding you. But I told him I was going to call him once a month at the end of every month. At the end of June, I'm going to call him. You know what one of the second or third things I'm going to ask? Did Kester join? Did Kester on board? You may sit down. Thank you very much. Was that worth a hamburger or not? No. Wow. You are special to God. You're a mystery to God. You are potential and you are power. And He wants you to commit, to get on board, to get involved. He wants you to become the light. He wants you to become the sower. John 9:4 says, there's a time coming when no man can work. Night cometh when no man worketh. There'll be a time where Kester, it's over with. You don't have to talk to anybody, right? There'll be a day when that happens. Do you understand that? When you're in heaven, your work's over. Over. You'll not have to do another ounce of work. So God says, while it's day, keep working. What time of the day is it now? It's daytime. Until He blows that trumpet, it's daytime. It's time to join Him in His work. All right? So what I said about Him, I mean everybody. And I mean myself. Me too. Me too. I need to be prodded and pushed and shoved. I need to get 10 people to say, take me out, Brother John, so that I'll go out. Make sure I go out 10 times. I have to do that. When I first got saved in Bible school, I volunteered to teach Sunday school. You know why? It forced me to get in the Bible. I knew it would get me in the Bible. And I needed to get in the Bible. Sometimes we need that. So you need, here's what you need, Kester. You need accountability. You need a friend that will be just as accountable, and together you two team up. Do you have any friends in this church? You got a friend? Him? What's his name? What's his name? Jason? Did you come forward this morning? If Kester looks at Jason and says, I'll go if you go, and you look at him, I'll go if you go, that makes accountability, you both come. Okay? So now you need to call him. And the two of you say, we'll go out together. And the first person you go out with should be him. You say, I'll go if I go out with you first. You two, right there, with him. You might have to help him along. You got one of those carts you can drive?
You're older than I am.
Yeah, 2 months. 2 months. Is it an accident? I was driving down here this morning. I said, God, I have no idea who's coming. But they're coming because you brought them here for a reason. So you could have laid out today. You could have, right? But did you? And God knew you wouldn't, and God made sure you were here so that you would hear this message, so that you would come forward and commit, and you didn't. But God wants you to. Together. Teamwork. Are you brothers? Oh, that's perfect. Brothers in flesh and in Christ. Man. That's a 2-for-1 right there, brother. This church, can this church catch on fire? Do you believe? If you don't believe the church can catch on fire, you might as well not even come. But you are here, which means you think there's still life in this church. You can still kick it. Oh, yeah. Now, it's good to have younger people. Because the older ones, you that raised your hand and said you were 70 or older, you need help with some younger ones, don't you? Don't you? Yeah. All right. Okay, I'm rambling now. That's when you get in trouble. So let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Father, oh, that people would say yes. Joyce said yes. And she's reaping 30, 60, 100-fold. 18 people this morning said yes. The potential is in their future. Others need to say yes. That maybe didn't commit. They need to see the potential and power that you see in them. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to hearts right now.